of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. You were so special that God would not send you a prophet, but that he would come himself to see after you as it is written of him. That pearl of great price that he found here in Detroit is the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his messenger Messiah, the exalted Christ.
Together.
Radio.
Underground. We have audio, but no video.
Radio Free Vida.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13. This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Free Readout breaking in. That was Louis Farrakhan from the Nation of Islam giving a speech in Detroit, making the claim that a Muslim from Detroit was the Messiah, the Christ. Well, Mark 13, 21 says, "And then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or behold, he is there, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show signs and wonders in order to lead astray, if possible, the elect." I'm John Jacob Schmidt, shining the light of truth on the deceivers, shining the light of truth on the destroyers of our American heritage, bringing a voice of encouragement to remind you that you, Christian patriots, are not alone. The goal of the Americanists, the goal of the anti-Americanists, and the neo-statists is to make you feel isolated and to bring you into conformity with the agenda, destroying everything about your heritage. The liberty that was purchased with great toil, sweat, fortune, and the blood of tyrants and patriots. You're among thousands and thousands of Christian patriots aware of the danger facing our nation and our very values. This is Radio Free Readout, broadcasting live from the free zones deep inside the conservative patriot stronghold known as the American Readout. And we are here to encourage you, inform you, and inspire you, hopefully motivate you to action, to prepare yourselves physically, to prepare yourselves tactically, and logistically for the difficult times ahead. We're not selling fear here. We are aware. The wise see danger. And the prudent, they see danger and they take refuge. The American Readout is the safe haven and refuge where thousands of like-minded patriots are strategically relocating, increasing the numbers, and fighting the anti-American agenda and preparing a place for you. So welcome. Thank you all for tuning in. It's great to have you with us, all of you patriots in the free zones and outside the wire in occupied territory. I also want to welcome all of our new listeners. And remind you, you can always follow us on Facebook.com/Radio Free Readout, where we normally put up a lot of several updates, you know, each day and sometimes several per day. But this week, our staff has been a little short. Our volunteer partisans of Radio Free Readout have been taking care of some other things, personal things. And so we haven't been posting a whole lot there at on the Facebook page. But boy, there's definitely a lot of other stuff going on. I want to remind you, if you get the opportunity to listen in the pre-show production, we play about an hour and a half ago, the Northern Nevada Preppers Radio Net. They do a good job. They they cover a topic. And this week, which we just aired today, they were talking about emergency power. And so there's some really good stuff to learn from there. And also, after the John Jacob Schmidt show, we also play Delta 04's post-net report from the Tappern Nets that takes place on the East Coast and in the Southeast. And she recaps the discussion from that week. And that is called the Delta 04 post-net report. And, of course, all of those are available over on Podbean. And then, of course, you can listen to each week's episode right after this show. Okay. Once again, I'm going to do something a little bit different with the news and commentary. This first segment is sponsored by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, and they provide outstanding real estate services in the North Idaho Panhandle in the heart of the American Redoubt for those of you who are strategically relocating to the northern uppermost counties of the Panhandle of Idaho. And visit them, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com, or just click on the link. And then, of course, also we always put the sponsors for each show with links so that you can access their information on the highlights and resources posting from each episode. Okay, now, because I want to start off, instead of getting into news and commentary, I want to start off with a comment that was posted. It was actually a question, but it was posted in the comments section. For those of you who don't know it, we are at AmCon level 4. That is a real world situation where we raised the level to no incident at all, not even a hint of an incident. We're just in training mode, regularly scheduled nets. We bumped that up a notch to level 4, and that is incident possible. We've had a lot of intelligence and communications chatter and reports indicating the what some analysts are saying, that it is either very highly likely or severe or even imminent that we can have a terrorist attack driven by ISIS and or Al-Qaeda on or around 9/11 and the days leading up to. And of course, some of these analysts are saying this is imminent. That's pretty strong statement. And that's not us. That's not, your fear mongering podcast people, alternative media. We're talking government sources and analysts that Congress relies on for intelligence analysis. They're saying we should be at the highest level of readiness right now. And many of them are saying these are imminent threats. And when you say imminent, that means it's going to happen. Not super high probability, very possible, very probable. It's coming. Now, we believe that it is coming just because of the tempo of the way things are happening in our world and in our country. And but anyway, so what we did was we went to AmCon 4 at least up to and through 9/11, because they're calling specific threats and specific targets as imminent. So that's not us. We're reporting what we are gleaning from these analysis and policy centers and analysts. And I think it would be prudent for us to take notice. Now, AmCon 4 basically means sit up straight and pay attention because there's something going on. So right now it doesn't affect us. And I'll talk about what AmCon 4 means and the different AmCon levels, because that is in the communications SOI, the signals operating instructions. But we haven't implemented that onto the website on AMRON.com, which of course is the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network, a nationwide continental network of radio operators in Canada and every state in the U.S. Okay, so this comment or this question says, JJS, may I ask for some description of your source? NTAS or NTAS, that's the National Terrorism Advisory System that Department of Homeland Security has on their website. He says, NTAS has no warning at this time. Not that I trust them. However, M15 has issued an alert in England. It is normal that the regime in our nation would. It is normal that the regime in our nation would issue such alerts as they use fear to propel their agendas. What office or service are you basing this on, please? Okay, excellent question. Very fair question. And we are never going to put something up there, especially call for action, like raising the AMRON communications condition level without some very credible and hopefully corroborating sources pointing to a specific threat or incident. Because there's so much, look, we don't have to create boogeymen. We don't have to basically run, like, we don't have to make stuff up, you know, to keep people scared. I mean, there's enough real stuff going on out there. You don't have to make things up. But you also have to use discernment to differentiate between what is sensationalism and hyperbole versus something that is really potentially a threat that we should probably pay attention to. So it's a fair question. Now, if you go over to Department of Homeland Security's website and you look at their NTAS, it says no active alerts. But that's really interesting. Let me read my response to this listener first, and then we'll look at some of these sources that are posted over there on the SITREP page that we have right now. And there's more stuff to be added to that, but right now it is up to date as far as I could, you know, before the podcast. So my response: we have a SITREP posted on AMRON.com and then I gave him the link. You guys can go look at that. SITREP AMCON 4 Real World Threat is what it's titled, which lists numerous sources. It is not surprising that NTAS, the National Terrorism Advisory System, would neglect to put out a warning. Have they, DHS, shown competence in any other area? First of all, we peasants can't handle the truth, so they don't want to frighten us. Secondly, the current administration is largely responsible for the situation we're in my humble opinion. And they're not in the habit of seeking proactive solutions, but rather they're only capable of amusing Keystone Cop-style reactions to real-world situations or threats. They were, however, extremely efficient at tracking down and confiscating Range Rovers from the wealthy because the vehicles didn't meet emissions requirements when imported. And this was at the height of the flood of invaders on our southern border. While they were supposedly responsible for protecting our border, they were confiscating Range Rovers because that's much more important, you know, protecting the environment. One of the reasons we're in the predicament we're in as a nation is that we're waiting for the government to take care of us or protect us and warn us of danger. When, not if, large-scale coordinated attacks happen on U.S. soil at some point in the future, they may not have given us warning, but they will certainly have a reaction. I mean DHS. They won't give us enough warning because, well, we don't need them to give us warning. And if we're relying on them to give us warning, well, then we need to have our heads examined. But they will absolutely have a reaction, and it won't have your liberty at the top of the priority list. While it's true that this regime has used fear to propel their agenda, it has generally been the conjuring of fear of patriots, homeschoolers, pro-lifers, constitutionalists, Christians, and basically anyone who opposes their globalist or statist agenda. They won't instill fear in us over a very real and credible threat of Islamic fascists. They'll wait until the attack. At that point, this regime won't take the last of our liberty. We as a nation will beg for them to keep us safe and voluntarily surrender our liberty if it saves just one life. But this is interesting. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel told reporters this is a report from the National Review, that the Islamic State is beyond anything that we've seen. Now, and they also, remember, this administration just said, we don't have a strategy for dealing with ISIS. So is it any wonder that they're not going to raise the terror level? They don't know what to do. So the article continues. Now, that's true insofar as Al-Qaeda did not build a conventional army or declare itself a state. He shouldn't be surprised, though. The U.S. national security apparatus has been following this jihadist ambition for years. Yes, in fact, the Muslim Brotherhood is designed exactly for that purpose, to establish global Islamic dominance everywhere. And there are people all through Obama's administration now with ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. Hegel may not have seen it, but a lot of other people saw it. And you don't have to be a whiz-bang, trained, high-level intelligence analyst to be able to look at this and say, something ain't right. And in fact, we don't need somebody else to tell us that we're in danger when we look around. In fact, most of you are awake because you looked around and said, something isn't right. And then the more you started looking, you said to yourself, we are in trouble. Right? And you're right. Your assessment is correct. Okay, so the documentation, well, we've got plenty of it. The FBI National Domestic Threat Assessment, basically, they're calling for an imminent threat. Let's go over here. Let's take a look at this this sitrep. And it is over at amron.com. And in there, we're talking about the situation report documenting all of the threats from the Threat Journal. The Threat Journal has been tracking multiple threats and indicators throughout the week. Go back to the 27th, new online publication from Yemen, Al-Qaeda branch, hints at looming attack on U.S., urges lone wolf strikes on Las Vegas, New York Times Square, Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, and military bases. Britain raises its terror threat level to severe based on intelligence that they've received, saying a terrorist attack is highly likely and the threat is related to Islamic State in Syria and Iraq. They're monitoring. On the 29th, DHS and FBI warning of law enforcement nationwide of imminent terror threat. So, and that's involving car bombs, where the threat focus is possible ISIS cells operating in Juarez, Mexico. They're looking at an imminent attack. The DHS and the FBI are warning law enforcement across the country anywhere from highly probable to imminent attack on U.S. soil. But they won't go over to their website and raise the terror threat level. It looks like everything's fine, right? But behind the curtains, behind the scenes, there's all kinds of scurrying activity right now among our government agencies related to this. Judicial Watch, Fed's bulletin describes the threat of imminent terrorist attacks on our southern border. Groups are operating in the Mexican border city of Juarez, planning to attack the United States with car bombs or other vehicle-borne improvised explosive devices, that's VBIEDs. High-level federal law enforcement, intelligence, and other sources have confirmed Judicial Watch that a warning bulletin for an imminent terrorist attack on the border has been issued. Another one, imminent ISIS threat to U.S. power grid. It could happen tomorrow or it could happen next week. This is from WorldNet Daily with an expert that they're quoting there on terrorism and counterterrorism and, you know, the current threat. Intelligence analyst. Muslim threatens to murder children at Ohio school because of Israeli and Hamas conflict. All the schools were placed in lockdown. That was just this week, and this is in America. We're not talking about Israel here. Muslim threatens to murder children at the Ohio school because of the Israeli-Hamas conflict and, of course, U.S. policy. Meanwhile, they got people flying in. They had a car chase in Chicago where the guy's flying an ISIS flag. Turns into a car chase when the police tried to pull him over. They finally arrest him for eluding. And then he claims that he has a bomb in the car. And ISIS is saying, we're not coming, we're there. We are in America. Also, buried in a Dell computer that was captured in Syria, lessons for making bubonic plague bombs and missives on using weapons of mass destruction. So they've got plans that are recovered from a laptop over in Syria on how to develop bombs that would spread bubonic plague. The UK raised its terror level, saying on Friday, saying from substantial to severe, the fourth highest of five levels in response to events in Iraq and Syria where ISIS militants have seized large swath of territory. Lieutenant General calls for DEFCON 1 over the ISIS threat. He's saying it is so that the intelligence and the indicators are so powerful that we should be at the highest readiness level. No, DEFCON 1, that's used for, that's Cold War stuff. DEFCON 1 means we are, a nuclear nuclear war is imminent. Now, he's not saying nuclear war is imminent. He's saying that our nation is at such a high risk of an attack from the ISIS threat, the Islamic State and Al-Qaeda, that we should be at the highest, absolute highest readiness level, which is DEFCON 1, minus the nukes. Saudi King warns the same thing. He says it is coming to Europe and right after that, the United States, and probably simultaneously. FBI director tells Atlanta law enforcement to be alert. Islamic State recruiting in Canada confirmed. Mexican cartels and ISIS communicating. There's more. Actually, I have more. But because one of these sources specifically named the electrical and communications grid, the electrical grid, the Ameron operators decided that this would probably be prudent if we raise the level, real world situation, so that we are starting to make final preparations on anything. If you've got an antenna that needs to be repaired, you got equipment and upgrades that you needed to do. And a lot of people identified those things last weekend in T-Rex, which is actually kind of alarming how closely that scenario paralleled some of the threats that we're seeing from the intelligence and law enforcement and counterterrorism communities. Very interesting. Okay, so let's look at the sitrep. Let's go past the sitrep now. Let's look at what that means, the AMCON levels. Okay, anytime we raise the AMCON level, we will always have a narrative there to accompany that to kind of give some guidance and describe why we're doing it, what's the threat, what do we perceive as the threat. So this is what it says. Less than 1 week after our scenario-based readiness exercise, T-Rex 2014, we are faced with a very real threat that is eerily similar to our scenario in the communications exercise. The AMCON level has been raised to level 4. Saturday morning, August 30th, a notification was sent out to all members, redoubters, AMRON operators, and AMRON core operators, alerting them of the increased threat of an attack by Al-Qaeda and Islamic State on U.S. soil. Details and instructions were posted at the AMCON readiness level page with a link. So let's go there. Let's take a look at that right now. It says, of course, this is not a training exercise. Due to increased intelligence reports regarding real-world situation, terrorist threats, and activity, we are raising the AMCON level to 4. Several analysts are assessing an attack or multiple attacks as imminent. Some assessments point to a time frame on or around September 11th, a sharp increase in terrorist communications activity, we call that chatter, strongly indicates an Al-Qaeda Islamic State attack on U.S. soil using car bombs, that's VB-IEDs, or other man-portable IEDs, active shooter attacks on locations with concentrated gatherings of people, including, we just have the guy that said he was going to shoot up the school. And of course, a lot of these are very cellular in nature. They are what you might call a lone wolf attack. Okay, these are autonomous groups or individuals who can act on their own. And of course, there does seem to be very strong indicators that there's coordination for a larger attack. Also, coordinated attacks on communications and or electrical infrastructure. Okay, anytime we raise the AMCON level, we will also include instructions if it's applicable. And in this case, stay informed on developments. We will be posting information on the website, which we did already, and that was in the form of a sitrep. Quickly make any necessary repairs or upgrades to your equipment. Maintain your batteries and backup power equipment to keep it ready. Continue with regularly scheduled nets, so don't change that. In this coming week, we have regularly scheduled nets. Contact those in your local nets to discuss an action plan in the event of a real-world incident in your area or multiple simultaneous incidents across the country. And more of these local AMRON nets, they're once they start communicating with each other and they start linking up through our link-up protocol, then they exchange emails, phone numbers, they go out to coffee together, and sometimes they'll have an antenna building party and teach the newer people how to program their radios, and they actually become friends and start building relationships. Okay, but they are insulated from, you know, the rest of AMRON. You know, people who exchange personal information, it's only kept in a very small, you know, level. And, you know, in your, what do you want to call it, your community or local area nets. All right. So right now you should be communicating with those, with each other, saying, hey, just a heads up, if something goes down, let's go to 146.420 or whatever communication plan you want to work amongst yourselves. And maybe prearrange taking shifts to monitor if we go to AMCON level 2 or AMCON level 1, so that you're not, you don't have every operator running every net that's, you know, wiping themselves out. So start having those discussions now. Number 3, in the event of a real world incident, we will immediately implement the communications SOI. Only convey or relay pertinent information and try to minimize high traffic. We are having a meeting with some of the AMRON core operators to review all of the feedback and suggestions and recommendations from the T-Rex exercise. And we will be implementing some changes, but we will make sure everybody is aware and on board before those changes are implemented. And there will be some minor changes to the SOI. And we'll, of course, we'll keep you guys all in the loop. So right now, go with what you got. If we raise to level 2 or higher, contact your Patriot leaders. That means your church, elected officials, sheriff, militia, other community leaders, and inform them that you're part of a nationwide communications network and offer to provide communication support if they need it. And you should have been doing this already, but you know, we are growing. We are on a serious growth curve. Now, Aries and Races are there to help support the government, but we've seen it depends on your area, their level of competence, how well they maintain their equipment, how efficient they are, or the egos that are involved where they just can't seem to operate efficiently. All right. And also, they might be helping to support an agenda that does not have liberty at the top of the priority list. And your Patriot leaders will need help coordinating with each other to counter a heavy-handed response that strips people's liberty in the name of safety. And they might be alone. You might have that one council, the city councilman, and the one or two county commissioners and the one state representative and a couple pastors, but they're all cut off from each other. So as AMRON operators, you want to be able to provide communication support for them so they can coordinate with each other to make sure that there is some rational, level-headed thinking people who have liberty and Americanism in mind as we deal with some type of a crisis. And that's the whole point of AMRON, one of the main points of AMRON. Okay, so your job is to make sure they have communications link with other like-minded leadership. So be working on that. Right now, incident possible, level 4, possible near future interruption in conventional communications, or an incident where we would need communications. So inventory, locate, and assemble all your communications equipment. Most of that should already be done because T-Rex is so fresh. But it's important to go back and revisit that stuff. All right, guys, let's take a break and let Fox 519 take it away. He's got some eye-opening news having to do with the economy. Well, that's why we call it Eye on the Economy by codename Fox 519er. Stand by. This is Radio Free Readout.
While the dollar cries out while it dies, our president ignores its pleas and continues to sink his very next putt. There is no stopping what is coming at us. We now have news that the Brits and America want Russia removed from the international monetary SWIFT system. Russia's own Gazprom has officially started receiving payments for their oil in both rubles and yuan. And for the last 3 years, we now have unprecedented enrollment of Americans on food stamps. The economic picture isn't looking very good. This is Sunday, August 31st, 2014, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout. Well, welcome back. As I said before, the economic picture in our world isn't looking very pretty and is about to look a whole lot more grim very soon. This week, Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron came out swinging against Russia in a move that I feel that if it happens would force the BRIC nations' hands. Prime Minister Cameron called on the leaders of the EU to block Russia from using the International Monetary SWIFT system. The Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication, otherwise known as SWIFT, is one of Russia's main connections to the international financial system. Prime Minister Cameron's government plans was to put the topic on an agenda and a meeting of the EU leaders that took place in Brussels yesterday. As of today, though, it is just still an idea, and my intel says that it has not been acted on yet. This idea has sent ripples throughout the international financial community. All right, this is a major, major shot over the bow to Russia, but Russia knew this was coming. In fact, according to ITAR TASS news service, Deputy Finance Minister Alexei Moiseev, which I've quoted before, said on August 27 that Russia's government had already drafted a bill to create a new Russian system for domestic bank transfers. This is a good counter move by Russia ahead of time. Here's my economic analysis of this. If the EU decides to cut off Russia's access to the SWIFT system, which will limit any type of bank wire in and out of Russia, when this happens, Russia is going to push forward with the BRICS to further advance their economic fight against the dollar and the EU. Here's my diagnosis on this. Russia will win. They have the gold and they have the backing of China. They have new technology in place that will allow them to operate separately of the dollar and the international SWIFT system. This move will drive war. The question remains, just what type of war will it be? Economic or actual war? Well, either way we look at it, though, there's going to be casualties. The question is, we just know which type. Economic or human. Moving on tonight and tying this story to the previous one, it is official. Russia's Gazprom, their number one oil and gas exporter, is going to sell their oil and gas for yuan. Reported by the Russian news media outlet Kommersant last week, Russia began to ship oil from their oil fields in the south. Two oil tankers that are expected to arrive in Europe in September, according to Kommersant, will receive payments for these shipments in rubles. To add further insult to injury to the dollar, Gazprom Neft, which is the official name of the company, has agreed to export an additional 80,000 tons of oil from the oil fields in the Arctic, and for it, they will further receive payment in rubles. It will continue to deliver oil as well through the Eastern Siberia Pacific Ocean pipeline to Europe, and for those, it will be accepting Chinese yuan. It wasn't reported who they sold the oil and the gas to, but the finalization of Gazprom only receiving funds in yuan and rubles show that Russia is committed to eliminating the dominance of the dollar. In previous broadcasts, I have detailed out what this means in terms of and how it affects you. I would encourage you to go back and listen to those episodes. In fact, two episodes ago, I did talk about this. Listen to it. It'll help you give you a basic micro and macroeconomic standpoint and what it means to your life savings. Finally tonight, in a very sad but true reality, the new normal in America is that people just can't afford food on their own. According to the Department of Agriculture's most recent released data, the number of individuals enrolled for the food stamp program, officially known as the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, has remained above 45 million every single month for the last 3 years straight. In May 2011, 45,410,683 individuals received food stamps. And as of May 2014, and that was the most recent data, no other data is available beyond that point right now, 46 million Americans were on food stamps. At this point, between the two dates, the food stamps never fell below the 45 million mark. That is just sad. Food stamp enrollments have continued to soar due to President Barack Obama's categorical eligibility provisions. It's the aggressive enrollment marketing, a bleak economy, and the intense lobbying of large corporations who bag millions of taxpayer dollars as food stamp enrollments incline. Here's an even sadder fact. In a report by the Government Accountability Institute, GAI, found that J.P. Morgan Chase bagged over $500 million since 2004 processing electronic benefits transfer, or EBT cards, in 18 out of 24 states it held contracts with. This company does not deserve our support, anyone. Still, despite historic levels of Americans that are now dependent on welfare, with our middle class is poorer than they were in 1984. Yet Obama claims to continue that his economic policies have made things better. Here's an absolutely asinine quote from him. "Since I have come into office, there is almost no economic metric by which you couldn't say that the U.S. economy is better." He said that last month in an interview with The Economist. According to Gallup, just 39% of Americans who believe the U.S. economy is getting better versus the 56% who say it isn't. It is getting worse. And you know what, everyone? Frankly, I agree. Finally tonight, for my advice. It's time to get organized. If you haven't already begun putting your team together to better your SHTF odds, you need to get in gear ASAP. With the rise of ISIS and the other potential economic tidal waves that are coming at us, you need to make sure that you are able to increase your odds of survival. You can't do it alone. You can't. It won't happen. Having a team just betters your odds to fight off an attack or even help your community out. But to do that, you're going to need people. I would encourage all of you this week to head over to PrepperRecon.com and listen to his podcast with one of our favorite authors, Glenn Tate. It is an excellent interview about building a team and what that truly means. Don't go it alone. You need people, and people will need you. Well, thanks again for listening this week, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
Thank you, Fox 519, for that. Appreciate it. Appreciate all your hard work. And hope you enjoyed a little break last week with the T-Rex exercise going on. We let you slide. So, of course, a lot of us were pretty wiped out after the end of that. But it was great. It was a lot of fun. We learned so much. And we are going to be making massive improvements based on your guys' feedback. Some people had just great experiences and made leaps, huge quantum leaps in your communications capabilities. Others, they didn't communicate with anyone. One of the things that we are noticing is the stark difference between those who communicated and those who did not are people who practice and people who don't, or people who've taken the time to familiarize themselves with their equipment and make adjustments. You might have a very experienced ham operator that talks to people all the time, but he can't hit the couple of Amron operators. And he's, Amron failed. The Amron doesn't work. Well, but the other Amron operator, he was experiencing the same thing, but he turned his antenna, ran it, strung it over to another tree. And then all of a sudden, these stations are coming in loud and clear, or they raise their antenna that changes the takeoff angle or lower it. Make minor changes over time. You do these nets and then you couldn't contact anybody and you couldn't understand them, couldn't hear them. So you make little tweaks and adjustments. That's why the operators who are consistently on the air in the practice nets are talking to people on a regular basis, because they've been through those 2 or 3 months where they had to keep scratching their head and figuring out what works, what doesn't, and make changes and adjustments, upgrade to a different antenna or change the way they had their antenna put up. And now they're there. So you just got to be persistent. You got to plow through. This is not modern technology. This is radio. Ham radio, for the most part. And, they're not like cell phones. You just turn them on, push a button, and pretty soon you're talking to anybody in the world that you want to. So anyway, stay with it. Stay with it. Be encouraged. Okay, let's get into the news and commentary. News and commentary is brought to you by the 299 Days book series by author Glenn Tate. And those audiobooks are all coming out now, so that's pretty exciting. We just got a few news stories here. You guys heard about the CDC whistleblower that stepped forward? Because we're always hearing, at first, it was like, don't get your kids immunized because there's stuff in there that's caused, there's links to autism and everything else. And these reports were coming out. And then all of a sudden, you're a lunatic if you believe that stuff, because these other reports come out and counter all that stuff. So you just hate your children if you don't get them immunized. But now this CDC whistleblower is coming forward and saying there's reports that clearly showed a link to autism through thimerosal, which they're actually still using in the flu and many of the flu shots. And of course, recommending that women get their, pregnant women get the flu shot, because you got to stay healthy because you're pregnant. You got a baby in there, right? So now I guess they're doing less and less of that, but it was the MMR, measles, mumps, rubella shots that this whistleblower said very clearly there were direct links, and all the reports that showed that the CDC was burying. So now the people that decided not to vaccinate their kids aren't maybe such the lunatics after all. As parents, you've got to make the best decision that you feel is right for your children. And, we're not talking about taking a kid that's been bit by a rattlesnake, and is on the edge of death and refusing medical treatment because you want to pray for him. You pray for him as you're taking them to the hospital, in my opinion. It's not immunization, because it really doesn't immunize you. Vaccinations, that's a very personal matter. And I know there's a lot of controversy over that. But, dang, stuff like this that comes out that just, I don't know. It just makes me shake my head. So now there are reports that never got published, that got buried, that clearly show a direct correlation between autism and who knows what else we're going to find out in the future with SIDS or anything else being tied to vaccinations. Amazing. Thousands of Christians preparing to defend themselves in Iraq against Islamic State. From the Freedom Outpost, they are taking up arms to finally try to crush ISIS over there in Iraq, to end the persecutions, the rape, the beheadings, just the utter tyranny and oppression that they're under, and some of the most unspeakable crimes that are happening to those people. They're banding together. And, Christians in America are arming themselves and preparing to defend themselves, because we are facing the same threat here. Now, of course, that's an active, ongoing situation. And we need to remember that these people have their sights set on us here. They are coming, if they're not already here, or actually they are here. And we're going to see that in our streets at some point in the future. I'm not saying this week, next month, next year, but at some point. And you've got to have the means to be able to defend yourself and your family, because the government or law enforcement, they're just flat. You can't count on them being there to do what is your duty to do anyway. Oh, let's see. Since we're talking about overseas, let's get into what a mess over there in Ukraine with Russian troops now. Now, how does this affect us in the American Redoubt? We should be dealing with American Redoubt issues, but this really is on a bigger scale. Let's look at the mindset here. The Polish president warns Germany that Putin's empire ambitions. Polish president Bronislaw Komarowski, I'm not even going to butcher it, said that Vladimir Putin is trying to build a new Russian empire for Moscow, and that the region now had to choose whether it wanted a Cossack Europe or a democratic one. He says, Russia has carried out an invasion in Ukraine, the Polish head of state told German public radio, according to excerpts of the interview to be broadcast later on Saturday. That was yesterday. Komorowski said that Putin was quite open about his ambitions to rebuild the empire. The Cossacks long served Russian czars in military and security roles on the borders of the empire, and the brand of Russian Orthodox patriotism is admired by Putin. Okay, the Polish president, whose post is largely ceremonial but does not give him a say in foreign policy, is an ally of Prime Minister Donald Tusk from the Central Civic Platform, PO. Okay. He warns, I hope Germans are sufficiently mindful of what Soviet Empire meant for Europe. Look, you got Poland, you've got Estonia, you've got Germany, you've got all of these nations that are pointing, saying somebody needs to do something. Poland is next. Estonia, Latvia, all these countries, all in that whole area, that whole region, that Western Europe, Eastern Europe, they are next. And I know there's a lot of stuff going on. Fox 519 covers this. There's a lot of, I could just peel all the layers off of this onion, but I don't have the time to get into it all right now. And plus there's plenty of other people doing that. But my take is, these people, they're not going to stand up for Ukraine because they don't want to get punched in the nose. But you know what? They are next. They're sitting there wringing their hands, pointing to Ukraine, going, that's horrible what's happening to them. That's not right. But they're giving lip service. Why don't all the other countries get together, raise up their militaries, and pounce on Russia? Force Russia to fight on seven fronts. I mean, if they all rose up and did that, they could knock this down really quick. But nobody wants to do that. They're all hoping maybe they won't be next. Maybe they can appease Putin. Somehow somebody else will intervene. They're waiting for somebody to do something. It's kind of like Americans. Kind of like just people in general. There's a really interesting article, too, out of North Idaho. The Coeur d'Alene Press had an article where a councilman, there's the one lone patriot councilman, he wants to take a look at the law. The city ordinance in the city says you can't have any firearms, you know, on a parade route within so many feet from a parade route. And, of course, that's unconstitutional. And this Steve Adams councilman says, I want to challenge this because this is unconstitutional. You can't tell somebody they can't defend themselves on a parade route. He said the state law already trumps their ordinance. He says, I'm kind of baffled to tell you the truth that they would even do that. State law says you can't do that. And he's talking about having a law that he tried to get repealed and they outvoted him. He wanted to repeal this firearms along a parade route and parks and different things like that so that people could be armed, and they won't remove the ordinance. But the ordinance is in violation of state law, not to mention state constitution. But see, here's the mentality. This is what jumped out at me in this article. I thought that I would bring this out. There's a councilman. He is basically a left-wing statist. Councilman Ron Edinger said Monday that he believed the city's ordinances don't need tweaking. Okay, it's been brought to his attention by this other city councilman, Steve, says this is an unconstitutional law and it violates state law. And he says, well, I don't think it needs to be tweaked. So now that you're aware of it, now you're just blatantly in violation of the law, but you don't care. Well, he doesn't care. This is what he said. He said it has worked. Nobody's challenged it. And I'm sure with all the controversy about guns and everything, I would have thought by now someone would have challenged it. If it's working, fine. If it's not, let somebody challenge it and see what happens. This is why so many people say, if you don't exercise your rights, you will lose them. See, because they pass a law that's unconstitutional. They're aware that it's unconstitutional, but they don't care. Let's just pass this unconstitutional law and see what happens. Let somebody challenge it. That person right there should be imprisoned. If your mentality as a public servant is to knowingly, willingly violate the law of the land, the Constitution, and your thing is, I'll just put it out there, and then if somebody can challenge it, we'll see what happens. That's a bad attitude. Mr. Ron Edinger. Ron Edinger. You people in Coeur d'Alene, in that surrounding area, remember, he's on the naughty list. He's got to go when it comes time to vote. Somebody that will violate the Constitution just because that's what they want to do. You will lose your constitutional rights. You will use your God. You will lose your God-given rights that are enumerated in the Constitution if you let this kind of stuff continue and don't push back. They'll just keep passing more and more laws just to see what will happen. And then nobody pushes back. And boom, you just lost another right. Pretty eye-opening, I thought. Oh, we're going to take a break. But first, we've got, this is interesting, Weather Underground's saying that the first snow of August, coming in August in Montana. Montana and Wyoming brace for snow this week. Temperatures, cold temperatures, while much of the U.S. sizzles. And so you guys can check that. Montana and Wyoming, check your Weather Underground or your AccuWeather to make sure you're not going to get snow early. That's kind of interesting. A little bit of readout news there. A couple of readout news stories. A few announcements before we take a break. Chrisanne Hall talking about the genealogy of the Constitution. She's going to be back in September over in the Spokane area. We'll be giving you more information, unless you just want to go to chrisannehall.com and look at her speaking schedule for yourself. But we will be reminding you of that. Let's see, September 13th, 14th, we've got Spark 31 training in Horicon, Wisconsin, if you guys want to jump in on that. And next week, I will be in Rock Springs, Wyoming, attending Spark's Grid Down Prepper Communications class down there. So that'll be a good time. Good stuff. I'm not sure what I'm going to do next week for a broadcast. I'm going to have to pre-record maybe something. Maybe I'll just do some interviews and stuff like that from down there, and it will just be kind of a ad hoc, out of norm type of remote location broadcast. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how we want to do that. Okay, let's take a break and come back and talk a little bit more about some very interesting observations from T-Rex, and answer some of you guys' questions about that. So this is kind of a communications review, overall review of the threat situation, and it's a hodgepodge show. There you go. There's no topic. I'm not sure how I'm going to name this. The threat assessment and responding to, I don't know, you guys tell me, what should we title this one? All right, let's take a break. I'll be back in a minute.
When you get right down to it, nothing good has ever come from any government that promises to be all things to all people. This is especially true when it comes to our safety and well-being. Sometimes I cringe at the nanny state mentality of the globalists, socialists, and otherwise anti-Americanists who think they know better than ourselves just what's good for us. That brings to mind another great quote from the late President Ronald Reagan when he said, "I don't believe in a government that protects us from ourselves." They've forgotten the warnings of our founding fathers and so many others who have gone before us, who have warned us that it's not ourselves we need protection from, it's the government itself. And why shouldn't we listen to those voices? I mean, how could 400 million dead citizens worldwide in the past 120 years be wrong? I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then, let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. This is the voice of the American Redoubt, broadcasting from an undisclosed location deep within the recesses of the Rocky Mountains, inside the safe haven and refuge for God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots. This segment is sponsored by AMP-3. AMP-3, the austere medical and practical preparedness project. They build and sell medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. Visit them at amp-3.net, or click on through the banner there that's on the website. This was such an eye-opening experience last week. I mean, we've had training before, and we had a T-Rex 2 years ago, but we've grown so much since then that this was like a whole new, completely new experience. And a lot of requests have come forward for doing more of these in the future. So we are going to oblige, and we need to be able to maintain that communications network in the future. We're going to be talking more about interoperability. That means interacting with people in your community, with other groups in your community, and other communications groups, so that everybody's working, people that are like-minded groups are working together toward a common goal, and interoperability, interactive with each other. One participant, an Amaron operator, said, "I think your strategy of deliberately not giving too much structure was a great one. It was very interesting to see how things developed organically and self-organized. The frustration some folks experienced, I suspect, also is a good simulation of a real-world event. When everyone is a little panicked, there will be a lot more folks piling in with their hair on fire," talking about into the nets, on the communications nets, "during a real-world event. It's good for the Elmers," that's your experienced hams, "to expect that and know how to deal with it." Yes, it was done that way deliberately. Leaked a little bit of information from various different stations around the country. It wasn't all just coming from one central location. We went into the scenario, very vague description of collapse, discussing martial law, talking about curfews, and then the power goes out and you don't know why. And that frustrated a lot of people. And then information, messages started coming, pre-positioned messages started coming from various different stations. And then people started making sense of this, and they started getting organized without leadership. It was what you'd call an ad hoc type of a network. There was a really good review and overview and analysis of lessons learned and comments and observations and recommendations for making improvements that was written by an Amaron operator. I'm going to have to get with him and ask permission to post that, because I think it's going to be a very valuable learning tool. Just a little bit of what he had to say was this: observations, psychological. This is the report from this Amaron operator. There were, and of course, this operator has a very specialized background that's provided him the experience for doing post-exercise analysis. And so it was, you know, it's a great, great benefit for us to be able to have. There's so many people out there. So many of you have so much talent and various different backgrounds. So I really appreciate it when you guys step up and say, "Hey, I have this background. I have this area of expertise. And I think, here, let me just work this project up and shoot it over to you and see if it's usable." And I've really appreciated that. So this is one. There were an unaccounted number of people who could not grasp the essence of the exercise, making life or death decisions in the presence of little and confusing information, and who kept reverting to a training exercise model for T-Rex 2014. In a training exercise, people are instructed on what to do, then repeatedly practice executing those instructions until they can operate autonomously when presented with the same or a similar situation. T-Rex 2014 was decidedly not a training exercise. He is correct. Those who were stuck on the training exercise mental model would break out of character, in other words, violate the rules of the scenario, to send emails during periods of time when there was supposedly no internet, expressing frustration that they were not given a description of the scenario itself in a storybook fashion, with a beginning, a middle, and an end in advance. They didn't understand the concept of deducing the story from little news items that they catch along the way. This is what I talked about last week. I wanted everyone to get a real good jolt of what it would be like if the lights went out and you didn't know why, and you ran and fired up your radio to see if anybody's talking, and now all of a sudden information starts flowing. Just like 9/11, two planes hit our building, and everybody's like, what, who, what, why, right? There was no answers, and it was frustrating. So I want you guys to think about reaching out, trying to pull in information to make sense of the bigger picture, to start filling in some of those blanks, make sense of that, to find out what's connected, what's not. Now you've got some experience. This little piece of information is irrelevant. This piece of information ties into this one over here. These are analysis skills that really are something that's built on, you know, with experience. But some of you also have just natural analysis abilities. You can just look at something and start putting things together. You're going to have to do that in a real world situation. Okay, and that's what this was designed to do. The inability to function in an environment of real-world chaos could certainly be fatal to them someday. Helping those people to improve their deductive and decision-making skills is critical to survival. It was concluded that more disaster exercises could be justified on that basis alone. So that's a really good point, and we will be doing training, and then we will be doing exercises that will allow you to use analysis and decision-making skill sets and develop those. The natural human instinct is to take care of other members of the tribe. The natural human instinct to take care of other members of the tribe became dominant among a large number of participants much earlier than expected. T-Rex 2014 had pre-published a timeline that specified the news sharing radio network would start operation at noon on Friday, August 22nd. This was to have been preceded by a ham operator practice radio network on Wednesday and Thursday, and in actuality, many, if not most, of the practice session participants started to operate as if T-Rex had already started by Wednesday night, when they started passing news messages to one another. This instinct to join a self-protective group and to answer a call of duty to the other members of this group must have strong psychological underpinnings. There was a strong need to not be alone during a time of crisis. That nails it right there. That's what made people so elated when they were alone, when they were practicing their bug out in a remote location, and they tuned in their radio and they heard Amron come over the air. There was a strong need to not be alone during a time of crisis. That's a very real component. The compunction towards group identity in a real crisis might very well indicate that the transmission of news to members of a population under stress is of such high importance that it could perhaps eclipse, at least for a short time, the search for food, water, and shelter. That's an interesting observation. From this, it is a natural conclusion that additional events like T-Rex should be conducted to give an ever-widening circle of people the opportunity to participate. A second conclusion is that in every family group that has an active radio operator working to receive and transmit news, the radio person needs to be protected from many other emergency preparedness chores. If those other chores require physical strength repeatedly over an extended period of time, it might be better off if the radio operators were the physically weaker of the clan. So there's lots to discuss. And of course, we were also talking about teaming up. You know, we always encourage groups or families to have at least two radio operators so that you can relieve each other and help each other during busy times and kind of lighten the load. Also, within areas where you've got larger networks of multiple radio operators in your community, you can take shifts. There's no reason why a couple of operators couldn't handle, you know, the evening shift, and the next couple of Amron operators, you know, take the midnight shift or the middle of the day shift. So you're breaking it up. These are different things that will be discussed in this meeting. Something else that came up from more than one participant during the exercise was complaining that the family members don't want to take part in it, don't take it seriously. The teenagers rolling their eyes, teenage daughter mysteriously having something that came up that just absolutely has to be taken care of that precludes her from being present. And there's one particular example here. In his debrief or his post-exercise report, he says, "I don't think they'll ever get it. But drills like this are important to let them know that safety and security that they enjoy daily comes at a cost that someone else pays. When mom and dad aren't around, for whatever reason, it will be on their shoulders to pick up the torch. I think my son is seeing the light a little brighter, but my oldest daughter has already checked out. 66% is better than zero, I guess." Of course, I wrote back, "If it's any consolation, you're about the sixth or seventh person with nearly identical descriptions of their teenager-itis epidemic, which is about as intolerable as Ebola. On the bright side, teenager-itis does have a much higher survivor rate, although it doesn't seem like it at the time. The only thing worse is opposing spouse-itis. Now that's a tough one to pull through." Okay, but seriously, this is a serious topic because I know many of you are in this similar type of situation. Now, this serves as a very this is a learning point for those of you young families. Start teaching your children young, and start raising them. Learning how to build a fire in the backyard, take them on little adventures, and discuss with them on a children level. Don't freak them out. But, you know, hey, sometimes there's a storm and a tree will fall over on the power line and our power could go out. So this is where we keep the flashlights. And then we're going to practice this weekend and we're going to use the Coleman stove and our flashlights with no electricity for a whole day and all night and make it an adventure for them. This starts to get built into them, and it becomes part of who they are. They're just self-reliant minded, preparedness minded type of people. And, then that's ingrained in them as they're being raised up. So don't neglect to do that. Those of you with young families, those of you with teenagers. Now, some of you are just waking up and you just became aware of the situation that we're in. You want to prepare, you want to become self-reliant, but this is new to your family. And in some cases they may think that dad flipped out or mom flipped out. And it's something that you have to try to educate them, but don't try too hard. Subtly lay things out for them to say, "Look, this really happened. Here are some situations. What do you think you would do?" And put them in the decision-making role. Try to find, we need to start finding some survival type, a library of recommended stuff. Now, one thing that I recommend to people is two things. When you're first getting somebody started off, get them to read 1 Second After, and then get them to read Patriots. 1 Second After shows what happens to people who are not prepared. And that would be a good discussion for you to have with your daughter or your son and say, at each point in the book, you read it first and then turn them onto it and tell them, I got a reading assignment for you because there's some things I want you to think about. And then they read and you say, okay, chapter one, chapter two, what were your thoughts? What do you think of this guy here? What would you do? What do you think of this girl there? And a lot of these authors have done a good job of kind of going before us and painting a picture of people who went through this metamorphosis where they weren't prepared and then they saw the need to toughen up or prepare in advance and things like that. Glenn Tate did a good job with this showing, you know, in the 299 Days books series, well, book one really was his awakening and then how he started to actually prepare and, you know, but he had to do it in secret. And his daughter, he assessed his children that his, you know, his daughter was the most likely one of the family to be on board. She thought it was kind of a little strange at first, but she thought it was kind of cool too. So you have to make an assessment of your family, who to approach first to gain allies and start indoctrinating them to books, movies, and things like that and begin the discussion. What would you do? What do you think of this guy? Wasn't that a bonehead thing? Oh my gosh. You know, but this guy here, I think that was cool, you know, and get their little wheels turning. Now, of course, pray about this first, how to approach it. And you're going to know your family better than anyone. If you're getting started late when your family's, this is all new to them, you're taking a 90-degree turn from the way that the direction the family's been going for years. And so this is, you know, this very potentially could be disrupting for them. And you have to approach it very carefully to at least to the point where they will accept it. They accept it and they can roll their eyes, but it's dad's thing or it's mom's thing or whatever. And nobody else supports it. If you can't win them over subtly and slowly educating them until they bring it, you know, get up to a certain point, show them real world examples and then use some fictional books as well that can show them the metamorphosis that people go through in their preparation, where they come around. And hopefully that'll be able to speak to them. If they do not, it might just have to be your thing. And when everything goes down, then they will come around. They're going to say, okay, maybe you're not so crazy. You might just have to make it your thing. Now, the opposing spouse-itis situation. This is another thing that I thought Glenn Tate did really good because first of all, he tried to hide it. But there comes a point when you're just going to have to understand that as a man, you have a duty to take care of your family, whether anybody likes it or not. You don't care if your wife gets mad at you because you're checking the tire pressure on the car and checking the oil to make sure that everything is in good, safe, running condition. Okay, and you're not going to care if she's upset because you're whacked out now because you went and bought a Coleman stove and a couple propane tanks or a generator, or you bought yourself a little Baofeng radio in case of emergencies. You start to do these little subtle things, okay? And of course, you got to make sure that you're balanced about this too. Now, the guy, you guys have seen the movie Survivors, the guy comes home with like the whole arsenal. Look, honey, I've joined a survivalist group. And it's like, that's all he's got is weapons and ammo, knives and everything else. Okay, there's no balance there. So make sure that you yourself are balanced. You need medical, you need communications, you need a means to defend yourself. You need to have food and a way of purifying or, you know, procuring water and balance it out across the board. All right. Because that's one way to just tell your whole family that you just flipped out is to, you know, come home with a pile of guns. So balance it. Now, for the wife that is opposing you, you want to try to convince her, you want to try to educate her. And after you go through all that entire process, it's not working and you're met with opposition. You finally have to do what you have to do. If this is just a hobby to you, then give it up, all right, and maintain peace. If you're convinced that we're dealing with something in our future that your family's life could depend on the things that you're doing now, you have an obligation and a duty to make sure they are taken care of. If Joseph had the warning that 7 years of famine was coming and he didn't do anything about it, he would be negligent and those people's lives would be on his hands. Your family, if you know that there's a potential for danger coming and you don't prepare, then you're negligent. And that's my opinion. So it doesn't matter if somebody's mad at you or not, or they oppose you or not. Sometimes you might just have to do it anyway. And I know that's more difficult even. It's easier for most of the time for most men to say, look, I'm a man. I'm responsible for taking care of you. There's some things going on that concern me. So I'm sorry if you're mad at me, but I'm doing this because I love you and I got to do it. And I'm not going overboard, but I would love it if you came on board with me. But if you won't, I'm going to do it anyway because I cannot stand the thought of knowing in advance there's a high possibility something could happen in our country and I didn't do anything and just let the chips fall where they fall. I know it's more difficult too for the women because I also know that there are many women psychologically, they need security. They need financial security. They need physical security. They want to know everything's going to be okay. And they see what's going on, but the husband doesn't. And it's maddening. Because that's the man is supposed to be providing and protecting, and he's checked out because he's more concerned with the lineup this fall for the football teams and, you know, whose stats are this and who's getting traded to what team. And I cannot get him to read a book or listen to a show or whatever it is. And you're freaking out. So I know that a lot of you women out there, you're secretly, I mean, you're just buying. You go to the store to buy a thing of toilet paper, you buy two instead of one. You buy, you know, six cans of canned chili, you throw an extra two cans in. And you're storing it under the stairs or, you know, someplace because you're just not getting any support. And sometimes even I want you to stop storing up. I am object, right? But then you feel the sense you need to pray and hopefully you can reason with them using scripture, that it's scriptural to prepare, especially if you can educate them. If not, you make your own decisions. But in the end, if there are food shortages, if our grid is disrupted due to multiple causes, right now the most in our face threat right now is ISIS planning to take down our power grid through attacking, you know, substations. And if there's hundreds of them in the country, they could do some pretty good damage that could take a long time to recover from, which could affect the economy, which could affect so many different things. You need to do what you need to do to make sure your family is taken care of. Okay. You have the right, the inherent right, the God-given right to self-defense, to self-protection. And that means protecting yourself from projected food shortages and other things, other threats to your family. And that's a tough one. I know it's a tough one, but hopefully those things will help you out. I mean, I'm not an expert in that area, but I've seen a lot. I've seen friends, personal people go through some very trying situations with spouses or children who just aren't on board. And the other thing that's really hard is it's not about keeping a secret. But if they're not on board, you have an OPSEC issue to concern yourself with. Because if it's not that important to them and they don't see the need for it, they will blab to their friends. And when the chips are down, hey, so-and-so said that, you know, her dad's got like a whole room full of canned food and let's go over there. So OPSEC could be an issue. So assess your children or your wife or those people around you and maintain OPSEC, because the last thing you need is, you know, like an episode of The Twilight Zone where you got like 50 people showing up on your doorstep saying, hey, not fair. You have food. We heard you have food. You know, let us in. You don't need that either. So if they won't come around, let them see your little 3 days worth of food. But then somewhere else you actually have, you know, that's where your 6 month years worth of supply and garden seeds and stuff are. So you have the OPSEC issue. So be careful when you're trying to convince them what you're doing. If they're not totally on board, they don't realize they could be committing suicide by not taking you seriously and blabbing to everyone that they know that you are preparing. So there's that. And that's all I got to say about that. And, I think that'd be a good article to sit down and write up for, you know, some point in the future. But, you know, so many people have. All right, I'm babbling. Let's take a break. I'll be right back. This is the Voice of the American Readout.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan, and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's Great Redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Help keep a watchful eye out for tyranny and the police state. If you see something, say something.
Good evening. Going into fourth, the fourth segment, the fourth quarter on Radio Free Redoubt. And let's see, who's going to sponsor this? Who's going to sponsor it? Well, it's already taken. Sorry. Katie Armor, come and take it. Katie Armor, body armor specialist, building AR-500 level 3 body armor and plate carriers. And they're the ones that donated. AMP-3 also donated some stuff. It was really cool. Baofeng holders and Ride in the Rain. Notepads and Katie Armor donated the Nalgene water bottle carriers with the Molly pouches that, you know, attaches to your the outside of your pack, and really cool. And so that was nice of them to do that. They're just great supporters of Radio Free Redoubt, awesome patriots and Amron operators. They're just in it. John Jacob at RadioFreeReadout.com is a way to get a hold of me if you want to ask me questions and things like that. And, you know, sometimes people leave comments in the comment section under postings, and those get buried. If you got a question for me about something, somebody says, I can't get into the chat room. What do I do? Is it changed? Or I can't remember how they worded it. Shoot me an email. Don't post a comment, because that's a really good chance that I could miss that. And then also, anytime you're corresponding, make sure you use your Amron code name so we know who we're talking to. Somebody just says, hey, I can't remember my password. What do I, you know, send me my password. I'm like, who's me? Who are you? You know, let us know. That helps. Also, we are doing some... we're doing a few changes here. I'm glad I just remembered this because I didn't have it in my notes. We are going to start corresponding with you guys once a month. We are going to be putting out an AMCON test, kind of like a test of the emergency broadcast system, but we're going to do an email. And, some of you guys, you move on, you know, you change email addresses and you're using something else. You didn't let us know and things like that. So we've probably had about 20 emails that keep coming back, you know, undeliverable mailer, demon, whatever it was. So we started purging those. So what we're going to do is going to serve two purposes. One, stay in contact with you guys. And it lets us test the AMCON level situation so that we know that your email works. If there is a real world emergency situation, catastrophic event, grid down, or the threat or an imminent threat of something happening, it could even be a massive wide regional, you know, hurricane like Hurricane Katrina. We want to be able to support you guys with the American Redoubt Operators Network. So if somebody's stranded and they need help and they're crying out for help, and we want to make sure Amron operators are there to be monitoring. So we'll put, you know, the AMCON level test out there once a month. And unless there's a real world situation going on, we'll let you know what that real world threat level is. And that'll help us also catch those returned emails and purge those so that we can keep everything current. So we need your help doing that. If you would, please, that'd be great. Now, before we wrap up tonight, I want to just cover something about being an Amron operator. You know, the difference between those who communicated and those who don't are practice and familiarization with your gear. Overwhelmingly, there were some weird little glitchy exceptions, but for the most part, across the board, that's what we saw. And there's a lot of people that are Amron operators, 1,200 of you, 1,500 of you, I don't even know now, Amron operators who never participate in the nets, you never do anything, that kind of thing. Now, some of you guys do. You're there every other week. You're doing your net. Nobody checks in. But you know what? You're there consistently. And that is so important. We've talked about the reasons why that's so important in the past. But there's an article that we're going to start putting in a link to in the welcome letter to Amron operators, because it says, hooray, I'm an Amron operator. Now what? And it's important that you understand what's expected of you as an Amron operator. And I want to direct you to that article, because when you sign up, you just say, oh yeah, I just want to be part of this network, but then never do anything with it. And then some of you want to jump on board with T-Rex or another exercise, and there'll be many more coming. And then you say, oh, it didn't work. I never heard anybody. I couldn't get my station wasn't operating. I couldn't receive anything, whatever. Because you had not spent those months, weeks, working out the bugs, working out the kinks, figuring out what works and what doesn't. So you're only going to benefit by being more involved. But in this, I just put a little excerpt from this article. Hooray, I'm an Amron operator. Now what? And it says, we are all counting on you. When you say you want to be an Amron operator, to be committed and conduct yourself with a purpose. We don't need nor want another ham operator who says, what the heck, sign me up, and then do nothing more to contribute. We have a category. You can just sign up as a redoubter, like some of you have. You're very involved in Aries, Races, or other things going on in your life, but you want to be part of the network. You want to be on as a member, but you're just signed up as a redoubter because you can't add another thing to your plate and be an Amron operator. That's fine. That's honest. And I appreciate that. I respect that. And if something goes down, there's a major world emergency, you'll be there. Fine. You practice with your gear. You're involved in other nets and stuff like that. I don't have a problem with that. But when you're signing up as an Amron operator, you're saying, count me in, I'll be there. I'm one of the people that's going to help keep everyone connected. You're issued a call sign, you're placed on a roster as being in any town USA, and then you do nothing if you sign up as an Amron operator. You've just wasted everyone's time. You've gave someone false hope that they're going to tune in on their shortwave or a scanner or Baofeng radio, because they're certain that an Amron operator in their community will be committed to keeping the community informed, only to never show up when it counts. So don't do that. Don't be that guy or gal. All right. Because I know that there are people that said, I tuned in. I know there's another Amron operator in my town or the next town over. And I listened on CB. I listened on MERS. I listened to the shortwave radio and never heard anything, because that's the one Amron operator that doesn't do anything. He's just on the list. So anyway, I just want to encourage you guys to get involved. There's people that are sitting there on the edge of their seat, chewing their nails with the radio in their hand, waiting for news and information that never came because you just signed up and didn't do anything with it. All right. Now, we hammered that one home enough, and that's all I'm going to say on that. Now, Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern time, I was selected from the Summer of Survival to be one of five of the presenters, experts, survival experts, instructors. I'm not sure how they categorize them. From the Summer of Survival online seminar web series. And you'll be able to tune in live. And this is going to be, who is it? It's me, Joel Skousen. Let me read it to you. Joe and Amy Alton, medical. Joel Skousen, he is from, the strategic relocation and world affairs brief. Joe Nobody, he'll be doing tactics and security. John Jacob Schmidt will be covering communications. And of course, we do a lot of strategic relocation here too. But for the Summer of Survival series, we just did the comms up to focused on communications. And then David Kobler, he does fire protection. But there were five instructors chosen as the favorites from everybody who watched the online seminar series at Summer of Survival. And I don't know if it was the people who bought the whole package or what, but anyway, they're bringing five of us back. So should be able to tune in on that. I'll give you more information. We'll post it on the website and we're going to be fielding questions from the audience. And so that'll be a lot of fun. And that's Tuesday evening. And that's it, guys. If I forgot anything, just shoot me an email and I will get you taken care of promptly. And just thank you so much all for your support, for helping to keep Radio Free Readout and AMRON going and growing. Thank you so much for your financial contributions. You have no idea how important that is. And I just want to say how grateful I am, and I'm humbled, and I just want to be worthy of your support. It makes me want to just do that much, work that much harder for you guys. But thank you so much for being out there. Your prayers are what's really, really super important. And I mean that. If you're listening on a downloaded iPods version CD or something that somebody gave you, don't forget to check us out at radiofreeredoubt.com and amron.com. And that wraps up episode 1434 for this week. You guys have a blessed week. And I don't know what we're going to do for next weekend. I'll let you know. We'll keep you posted. We might just wing it. I'm going to have to do a remote podcast broadcast from Rock Springs, Wyoming, but I'll still be in the American Readout. And so I'll be in safe territory, and I will be among some very competent company as well. Other patriots. Looking forward to it. All right, guys. God bless. This is the Voice of the American Readout. I am John Jacob Schmidt. My name is your name, too. Good night.